This is Sportsnet 650, and you're entering the chat room at Tyrant Studios downtown.
The chat room is presented by West Coast Dream Machines, now open on Clyde Avenue in West Vancouver. West Coast Dream Machines, offering pre-owned luxury muscle, classic, and rare and exotic vehicles with in-house leasing available. They carry the finest lines like Ferrari, Lamborghini, and McLaren. Check out their extensive collection at wcdreammachines.com. Now, let's get to the chat room.
Here are your hosts, Joe Leary, Danny Filipponi, and Aaron Chapman.
We welcome you to the chat room at Tyrant Studios.
High above the Penthouse Nightclub.
In legendary downtown Vancouver. Joe Leary along with Danny Filipponi, nightclub operator of the Penthouse.
Yep, here we are.
Noted historian Aaron Chapman.
Thank you.
You have chronicled this wonderful city.
I have, and this place that we're in. Yeah.
And I thought it would be so appropriate for this, our fourth show, presented, of course, by West Coast Dream Machines. Beautiful cars, pre-owned, luxury vehicles. Check them out, wcdreammachines.com. Because we're all proud Vancouverites, let's bring a Vancouver City Councilor. Mm-hmm. Just happens to be from my alma mater, Killarney High School.
Wow.
Councilor Mike Klassen, welcome to the
show.
Yeah,
Mike, welcome.
Great to see you,
man. Thanks, welcome to the Penthouse. It's not often you welcome a city councilor to the Penthouse.
Well,
at least,
you know, not what, just through the back door.
There, sure. Right? Yeah. Beside it. Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, very pleased to be here. And Killarney, I was actually chairing the public hearing on Tuesday night, and a guy came up to our clerk after and said, "Did that guy graduate at Killarney High School in 1980? I graduated with him. I had no idea." Yeah, so yeah. I went, so. Small world.
Right? I can't believe you're both Killarney boys because I'm a Carisdale kid, and Killarney was a tough school that we played against in soccer all the time, and there was always some injuries on both sides.
Great basketball team.
Wow.
Very good basketball.
I have to totally assess how I both know you guys now.
The legendary Killarney Cougars. But anyway, we digress, but it's nice to have you on the show, Mike. And I must ask you because, you know, when you throw your hat in the political ring, you win some, you lose some in terms of popularity, in terms of votes. What inspired you to want to subject yourself to that?
It may sound naive, but it's just a pure love and perhaps concern for the city. You know, when I was running, I had felt that we were slipping. We were kind of losing a bit of our mojo. And when people approach me, and they approach me several times, because, you know, I had a good thing going, a good career, good friends, and, you know, family life that wouldn't be disrupted by long council meetings and being out every night. I decided after that and talked to what I said my two bosses. One was my boss at work, who used to be in politics himself, Terry Lake, used to be a minister of health. And then my other boss, my wife, and she said, as long as you don't drag me in any of this political stuff, you're okay to do it. So I got the blessing.
So far, so good.
Yeah, trying.
So I wonder if being a member of council is anything like police will be on patrol. They're not going on a call. They're just patrolling the streets and what have you. As a city councilor, are you just kind of this, hey, honey, I'm just going out for a spin for a bit because I just want to see my city and see if there's anything that catches my eye. Are you that vigilant when you see stuff?
It's funny. I used to talk about how Philip Owen was that guy. He used to drive around in his car, and if there was something coming to council, he wanted to go get that look and feel. I think it's really important to be out. And when I'm out for example, I was out in Point Grey today, and I took a couple of different detours just so I could see places a little bit that I hadn't been to for a while. But I do think, you know, I'm probably not going to disrupt a rare evening home just to go see something.
Sure.
But if there is something coming, you know, that's on the agenda and I need to know it better, I'll definitely go and do that extra legwork.
No, it's great to have you. I mean, I've worked pretty much my entire life in the downtown area. And Aaron and I conduct tours of the Penthouse quite regularly. But Aaron, I know that when we talk about the city, the downtown core, you and I have noticed over the last couple of years, especially after COVID, that it is beginning to pick up, definitely, especially the nightlife.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And, you know, I'm always somebody that's, you know, people talk about Grandma Street, and I think it's kind of a much maligned street. And I find sometimes, especially people who maybe live out in the suburbs, have this, because of some of the news stories that happen every once in a while, they think every night, and some of the descriptions that it's a war zone, I think are ridiculous to me. Now, Grandma Street has some problems. Maybe it didn't have before in the past. But it's been interesting, I know, within your term of council, that this new sort of study of Granville Street that's been implemented that I guess is going to come to fruition this summer.
Yeah. So it's called we call this area, it's now called the Granville Entertainment District, GED.
Yeah.
So the GED plan. So there was a kind of a big launch last week. In fact, last year when they got us all to wear our kind of rock T-shirts to kind of signify the love of the energy of the music.
The press conference at the Orpheum.
That's right.
I was there for that,
yeah. And then so now what's coming back is they did a lot of survey, public consultation, and so I guess council will get briefed on it pretty soon. And then by the fall, there'll probably be a report back with some recommendations on how to move forward.
It's funny because, you know, we talk about nightclubs, and I think, Joe, you mentioned this, you know, in one of our last episodes. The nightclubs, you know, there's not too many of them around left, to be honest. But what we are seeing is this new type of bar, arcade open. I know there's a real big one about to get going to open across from the old Capitol Six.
Across from the Commodore there, yeah, the Rec Room facility. And it's sort of been a long time coming because I think construction stopped at one point and then it's restarted, but you might know a bit more about it.
I know a bit about it. I think it's going to be a beautiful project. I mean, this is kind of the changing nature of that kind of a night out.
Multi-level.
Right? It'll have lots of different kinds of entertainment. Remember, it used to be the Granville 7? Kind of all the little rooms that they had for theaters there. So they're completely restoring, keeping that heritage facade on there, and I think it's going to be able to take about 1,000 patrons or something. It's a big project. So,
which as a nightclub operator, I love, because you know when there's a BC Lions game or a Canuck game, anything to bring people downtown. It's so obvious when there's an event, whether it's a concert or a comedy show
Remember the old song, when you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown, but you want something downtown to draw you to its lure. And I think that is part of the master plan, correct?
Exactly. The whole idea is just, I mean, Granville is unique in the sense that it has a lot of old housing stock in it as well. It has SRO buildings. We are trying to shift away. The province has made it very clear that they want to start moving away from SRO housing. It's really rough. It's kind of the housing of last resort for a lot of people. And so it's a case of, you know, where do we go? But we have to make sure that those housing units are still available, that they're self-contained, that they have, you know, kitchens and bathrooms and inside the units, which the SRO buildings, of course, don't. But there's a lot of that already on the ground. In fact, it's the second largest next to the downtown east side right down here.
You know, one of the biggest disappointments, I think, was Nordstrom's closing. You know, as far as I could tell, it looked like it was busy and doing well. And I heard rumblings that they pulled out for various reasons. Do you have any idea of what might be going in that enormous, beautiful spot?
I don't know if I'm allowed to tell
any rumors.
I actually think there is going to people are going to be really liking what's coming in there.
So excited to hear that.
Interesting,
We are joined by Vancouver City Councillor Mike Klassen. This is the chat room from Tyron Studios.
High above the Penthouse Nightclub.
In downtown Vancouver, presented by West Coast Dream Machines, wcdreammachines.com. So I'm going to ask something that, again, I don't want to turn this political, but I got a question about parking meters. Now, maybe you can answer this. Why is it there's a two-hour max on the pay-by-phone app? Why can't I re-up again? Because my belief is always, well, I'm willing to pay for another hour or two. Why are you turning down my money? That parking space may sit open. How do I direct that inquiry?
Boy, I tell you, if I understood the science of parking, I'd be a rich man. But what I understand is, obviously, there's time limits for certain ones, and it's to incentivize a little turnover, so people are not just parking there for a long time. You do see there are parts of the city, of course, near Queen Elizabeth Theater, you can park for three, maybe more hours because of the long night there. And then there's some places where it's really short. When I used to do that, I used to keep some change in my pocket. I stuff the meter for a couple hours, and then I would just write down the number for the pay-by-phone. You're right. It's interesting, but I think it's just a way of trying to turn.
Are these kind of things too petty for Joe Public to bring up to council or not?
Oh no! I wouldn't say that it's petty. It's just that we have to be listening, and so I mean, like there was a parking issue recently. Said that if you go to City Hall, for example, and you want to drop off some paperwork, and apparently the you can only renew for another 90 minutes or something like that. And if you're only there for a little while, why would you not make it for 20 minutes or 30 minutes?
There is one pressing question. I know that especially being a sports show here, sport-based. Now, one of our biggest topics, which we talk every week, is the Vancouver Canucks. Now, when we're recording this show, the Canucks are getting very close to starting their playoff run, And it has been brought to our attention by many of our guests that I think some Vancouverites are actually considering that the Canucks have a really good shot at going to the Stanley Cup, which poses a few problems, Aaron.
I don't know. Has a parade route already been chosen yet? I'm going to ask you, Mike.
I think everybody in their mind
you know what's ahead. But yeah,
I would imagine that our staff team will be turning around if we get to that point. Of course. We remember the last time we were in there, and it didn't turn out so well. So I think we've got to be really thoughtful. But, you know, if we are in a playoff run, we should probably find ways of being able to activate the city, because there's no event that lights up the enthusiasm than the Canucks being in the playoffs.
I mean, we talked about it last time, that the riots that happened downtown. Have you guys actually started to think about what might happen? Like, have you put a plan? Have you heard about a plan, a police plan in place? Because I know, being downtown, I was there that evening when it happened. Yeah. I never seen anything like it in my life, right?
Well, I was there at the start of the evening myself, and I saw the look of the face of the head of engineering that day, and I knew that he knew that something was not going well. And you know, there's a dark side to this, the fact that we're talking about potentially some disruptions, but the other we're all being very optimistic about the Canucks' chances here. I think that, again, we have to learn from the last experience. What happened in 2011 is that we didn't learn from 1994. And there is some really great sort of research and planning, and the VPD needs to, and trust me, the VPD will get a lot of support from this council. We've always considered them to be important a part of how we govern the city. And so,
Mike, you referenced Mayor Philip Owen earlier. I think it was under his regime that we got labeled No Fun City. Does that piss you off, not only as a citizen of Vancouver, but as a councillor? Because, yeah, there's been things that have been cancelled, or there was previous regimes that maybe didn't get it. I believe, without being too political, I believe this council gets it. I believe you guys get it.
Vibrancy and energy around moving the city forward is absolutely a kind of pillar of our team. And I think about all the amazing events that are coming. We've got Grey Cup. We've got the Junos that are coming. It's going to generate tens of millions of dollars of economic activity. The Invictus Games in 2025, and, of course, FIFA World Cup, which is unbelievable. Like, so these are unbelievable opportunities for the city. One of the conversations I've been having with staff recently is about how do we create those kind of economic conditions like we did in 2010. In 2010, I was working. I'd been working a little bit with the mayor's office, but after that, I had a website going, and then we ended up creating something, the Where to Be for Free guide. It got 2.5 million page views in 6 weeks. It crashed several times because so many people wanted to find out where to go, because we activated all of these amazing places to go during that time. So 150,000 people would come down every day during the games just to be going to the Mint Pavilion or to the BC House or whatever it was. And as a result, we had probably one of the best ever Olympic experiences on the planet.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I remember the first time I came downtown during the Olympics, and I was at the Yaletown Roundhouse Station. I got out off the SkyTrain, and as I ascended to the street level, I felt naked because I was not wearing anything with Canada on it. I immediately made a dash to the bay. I had to buy something with a Canadian flag
on it. Get some gloves.
It was just an unbelievable experience. And I don't know if every city that hosts Olympics goes through that, but, man, Vancouver did it well. By the way, I want to ask you a question about Vancouver. Are we getting a permanent sign? What's the story on the Vancouver sign?
That's a great pivot, because I was just saying so Councillor Peter Meisner, my colleague, brought forward a motion that was unanimously supported to try and have a permanent sign. So we saw the one that Destination Vancouver did down by Canada Place, and it was super popular, all those Instagram photos going all day long. Those signs, like the ones they have in Toronto, I've seen one in Ottawa, they kind of generate their own kind of civic pride. So I'm thinking we just need to find a really great place. Now, it may not be just a bunch of block letters. It may have some Indigenous design incorporated into it. We've sort of left it there. But I do think that all these things, the events, the sort of placemaking we're doing, is really about regenerating that civic pride, the pride in the city, and really shaking that No Fun City label.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, we're not going to put it in the mountains. We're not going to do the Hollywood kind of thing, are we?
I don't think so.
It looks amazing where it is right now, honestly.
And it needs to be a permanent thing, because, again, if you just think of the photo opportunities. Maybe we could put it outside the penthouse. Maybe that may not fly. I don't know.
There is one thing I wanted to ask Mike. Gastown.
Yeah.
It's one of those, you know, I mean, we all know Gastown. I drive through it. Well, I was driving through it up until a while ago. Long overdue. Is there a timeline when you can see the cobblestones being repaired?
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna be closed for a number of months, and you have to close it when you're repairing it.
Yeah, so there is a full Gastown plan that is being enacted right now. It's a bit of a phased process. So right now they're doing those kind of key street repairs a little bit closer to Columbia and towards as you enter off of Powell into Water Street where the Maple Tree Square is.
Such a vital part of our tourism. I drive by and see everyone at the steam clock, and then they sort of stop right there.
And
right?
so in July and August, we're going to be closing Water Street for those couple of blocks. You'll still be able to have access for commercial vehicles different times of the day, but essentially we're going to be able to kind of pedestrianize
great stuff.
That area. Yeah.
Well, we know as a Vancouver City Councillor, you've got a hectic schedule because I follow you on social media. You're everywhere. You're omnipresent, but we won't take any more of your time, but we hope you will come back and join us again so we can talk more about this wonderful place we call the Couve. Or do we call it Couve?
Couve, the Couve.
The Couve.
The Van City.
We call it the Couve, sure.
Somebody called it Van Groovy to me the other day. I couldn't believe it.
You know what I noticed? I noticed that people on the North Shore refer to it as Van. I go, we call you North Van and West Van. I don't call this Van. It's Vancouver. I love the name Vancouver.
Yeah. I love Vancouver, too. I like, yeah.
Councillor Mike Klassen, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
West Coast Dream Machines, a carefully curated collection of luxury, muscle, classic, rare and exotic cars built from 3 decades of sourcing expertise. A different kind of supercar showroom. 1519 Clyde Avenue, West Vancouver. Look, salivate, order, lease, purchase, finance. Get behind the wheel of your dream Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati, Rolls, Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin machine. West Coast Dream Machines. WCDreamMachines.com. 778-606-FAST.
Our cars are faster.
You're listening to The Chat Room at Tyron Studios downtown, and this is Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM HD3. The Chat Room is presented by West Coast Dream Machines on Clyde Avenue in West Vancouver. West Coast Dream Machines is Vancouver's supercar dealership, offering pre-owned luxury, muscle, classic, and rare and exotic vehicles with in-house leasing available. It's a carefully curated collection of premium rides, exotic cars, luxury vehicles, resto mods, and modified muscle cars, all shipped worldwide. They carry the finest lines like Ferrari, Maserati, Lamborghini, and McLaren. Check out their extensive collection at WCDreamMachines.com. Now, back to the chat room. And again, your hosts, Joe Leary, Danny Filipponi, and Aaron Chapman.
We welcome you back to the chat room at Tyrant Studios.
Hi, above the Penthouse Nightclub in downtown Vancouver.
It is Joe Leary along with Penthouse operator Danny Filipponi.
Good to be back.
Aaron Chapman, noted historian and proud Vancouverite,
yes,
as we
indeed.
All are.
Yeah.
And the show is sponsored by West Coast Dream Machines. Our cars go faster. WCDreamMachines.com. We'll talk to Rob Frost from West Coast Dream Machines in a bit, and you'll learn about some of the amazing stuff on the lot. I warn you, be warned when you check out the website, you're going to see something you want. Okay?
A problem.
It is. Also, we are powered by Terramana Tequila, which we are enjoying right now. Terramana Tequila is the tequila good enough for the rock. It's good enough for the chat room at Tyrant Studios.
There you go. Yeah.
Cheers.
There we go. Have a little sip right now.
Our official beer sponsor of the chat room.
Ooh, that's good.
Is North Point Brewing in North Vancouver, the proud makers of the new Penthouse branded beer, available at Kitsilano Liquor Store on Broadway near Arbutus. Kitsilano Liquor Store, shout out, lots of love. And our food sponsor of the show, Neighbors Restaurant and Pizza House on Victoria Drive. Mitzi has rung the bell.
Delicious.
It is amazing. It's been around a long time. And it's my biggest blessing and my biggest curse because it's literally in my neighborhood. I do occupy a seat there quite often. But the pizza are amazing. Pastas are amazing. Greek food is amazing. Happy hour from 5 till 4 till 5:30 every day. Mitzi, thank you so much
for all
the great love.
You know that North Point Brewery? They just released a 75 limited edition can of the Penthouse beer featuring our marquee. that's always on display by our bar manager, Ben, who does our famous marquees.
Ben is the marquee guy, and you just got a nice write-up in Georgia Strait, was it?
Yes.
Yes, well
Ben's
done.
In the house.
Nice. Ben
nice.
Is in the house.
Welcome, Ben.
The marquee, yeah. The marquee is becoming almost as legendary as the Penthouse Nightclub.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It really is.
I mean, every time he goes to change the sign, cars literally stop on the road while he's changing it. He has caused Ben, traffic jams.
Ben's got his sunglasses on today because he's getting too famous. He's in witness protection now. He's in witness protection.
Yeah. He and I both.
Yeah. Our guest for this segment, Prevail from Swollen Members.
Oh, yes.
Prevail.
Yeah.
Prevail.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Who, as he sits in this chair today, can boast of having a number one tune on iTunes.
That's fantastic.
There you go.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great news.
15,
excellent.
15 years in the making.
15
yeah.
years in
over,
the making.
Over, overnight know, success.
The classic overnight success.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and
right.
Swollen
yeah.
Members is back, by the way. There's new material, and there's talk of maybe some dates, correct?
Yep. There are some possible shows on the docket. We'll see how it all pans out, but who could have thunk? That's, yeah. I'm really excited.
So... I remember one of the first conversations I had with you, because we go back a number of years, you and
we
I.
We sure do.
And I remember you mentioned something. You said a term that I didn't really wrap my head around at first. And I said, where did you guys meet, you and Mad Chow from Swollen Members? Mm. And I think you said you were beat shopping. And I was not familiar with that terminology. So for those like me that were Luggites, what does it mean to be beat shopping?
Okay, so... Let me try to spin that off in a quick nutshell. Madchild and I, although we both are BC boys, we didn't meet back in the day, quote unquote. We met actually in San Francisco. He was working at the Beastie Boys store called Extra Large. And I ran into him there, and I was like, oh, man, you're Madchild. Like, that's crazy. He's like, oh, yeah, you're Prevail from Split Sphere. This is pre-Swollen, obviously, right? And he was up for Best Underground Rapper in the Bay Area in one of the magazines. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll vote for you, obviously. Keep it BC. Voted for him. Didn't think anything about it. 6 months later, he came back to Vancouver, and we ran into each other at a friend's house party, and we were he was rapping some stuff from his new EP, Claustrophobic. And I was freestyling, and we were just at a friend's birthday party. And we're like, hey, man, you're really good. You're really good. We should start talking about getting into the studio and doing a song together. Hence the birth of Swollen Members. And then this new single that we dropped, we recorded probably, honestly, 15 years ago or something.
Your new single is 15 years old.
Yeah, dug it up out of the vault. And we divulged that. It's not like we're guising it like it's a new song. We dropped it, and it went to number one on iTunes, hip-hop, R&B, soul music in Canada.
Congrats, man. That's great.
Thank you.
It's outstanding.
What?
Your new song is 15 years old, and it's number one. That's
what?
Great.
That's one way to do it.
So, Aaron, you're around the music scene a lot. Are you a hip-hop guy?
Well, you know what? The interesting thing to me is that sometimes we forget, because Swollen Members were right here in our own backyard, that Swollen Members are broke nationally. It's known across Canada, but Vancouver has its own sort of hip hop history, and it starts to happen for me in the early 90s. I remember, especially out at UBC, you had some early people, the Beat Assassinator and his sister MC Terra T, doing early stuff.
Come on, man.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. These are names I'm dropping that maybe only you know. But
come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
The history of... and then we, of course, go on the Rascals and everything like that afterwards.
Man, look, none of this out of BC is happening without those guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had our... You know, look, I grew up, I was a battle rapper.
Right.
I was a freestyle cypher guy. And so, you know, the Rascals and I had our basket... This is before Swollen. We had our back and forth stuff. But man, I respect those guys so much.
Yeah.
Without them, there's none of this. And I'm not wearing a hat right now. Like, put it on and take it off again.
EQ, some of that already.
Come on, man. Quaze, man.
I'm dropping names.
No, come on. So what? Do you ever go up to Crispy Biscuit? You know, Kilo C, obviously,
sure.
And Bill's,
Kilo
Mr.
C,
Bill's?
Yes, of course.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
And for me, I came from the more of the punk rock sort of skateboarding world.
They merged
at
one point.
They merged at one point.
Yes.
And then they kind of took off in a separate direction. God, and yeah.
I see they got their own spin-off show coming
yeah,
up.
No,
here,
right? Yeah, sure.
No, Joe. But weren't we so lucky, though, right? When Red Dragon started doing
yes.
their thing and getting their street cred and doing their stuff, and just everything met, like you said, punk,
yeah.
skateboarding, hip-hop, all those street cultures kind of just came together
yeah.
and respected each other,
and
it blew up into this really amazing
thing, yeah.
It was really beautiful.
Yeah, and that's why I think more people should know that history or realize that Vancouver has
sure.
those roots.
Yeah.
And not everybody thinks about it because we think, well, maybe out on the West Coast we were more separated from what was happening back east and things like that, but there's a real rich history here.
There is, and you know, you look at places like FWUH, you know, FWA, which I can't probably say it on the radio
probably
what it
not.
Actually stands
right.
for.
Sure, better not.
Yeah,
you know, you had all those cats just sitting around. You had the B-boys, the B-girls, the graffiti writers, the DJs, the MCs, all going and getting their pens and getting their paints and getting their caps and getting their gear and getting their shoes and
yeah.
getting their vinyl. And everyone just kind of lived on this, you know, in New York, the equivalent would be called the writer's bench. But we had that thing in Vancouver just off Beatty Street. And
yes,
right.
Yeah.
Foie. And man, like shout out to Science, shout out to Blaze, shout out to Martini for putting that whole thing together in different iterations and different generations of it. But wow, what a great community that we built there. You could rap and you could be a B-boy, B-girl. You could be a graffiti writer. You could be a DJ. And everyone just kind of came together. And we had a centrifuge. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Really amazing.
Is there a show in Vancouver that you remember doing specifically that really has stuck with you after all these years? Is there a place in Vancouver which really
that I played at or that
yeah.
I went to?
Where you played at.
Played at.
Maybe both. Maybe
yeah.
Show,
okay.
Shows
okay.
You, influential show or one you did yourself.
Yeah, yeah. No, I will say this. Swollen opened for DOS FX at the Commodore.
Nice.
During the Skate Jam.
Slam City Jam?
Slam City Jam. Thank
yeah.
you, sir.
I'm here for you.
And thank you. I appreciate you. I see you wearing the Adidas runner.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I'm three stripes all day.
There you go.
So I had no idea that the hype was there for us like
sure.
that at that time. And we came on stage, and DOS FX, they were the headliner. We were the opener. But it was our hometown, right? Vancouver. I'm an island boy, but, lived here long enough. It was kind of like a hometown gig. And, man, we went on. And the place went, and I love the Commodore. Oh, my God. I love playing there. I love watching shows there. I think
yep.
it is one of the number one most important institutions for music on the face of the planet.
I agree, yeah.
Oh, God. And we kind of killed it. Like, we killed it.
There
it,
you go.
It was really awesome. So, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that line of questioning.
Our guest is Prevail.
And shout out to DOS FX.
Yeah.
Our
yeah.
guest is Prevail, number one iTunes. Congratulations.
Amazing.
Again.
Probably.
Swollen Members back. 15 years in the making for a new yeah. number one song. Yeah. Well, that's congrats to you.
Thank you.
We are in the chat room at Tyron Studios.
High above the Penthouse Nightclub in downtown Vancouver.
Sponsored by West Coast Dream Machines, wcdreammachines.com. We're going to check in with Rob Frost momentarily and get the update on what's on their showroom and what's on their website. And they're just mind-boggling stuff. Now, I must ask you, because of being a musical guy, and being in the genre that you're in, people might pigeonhole or stereotype you. The last conversation I had with you on West Broadway at the Regal Beagle,
sure.
shout out to the Regal Beagle.
Of course.
We were talking about you and Ballet BC. People
uh-huh.
don't realize how cultured you, just because you're in one genre of music doesn't mean you got blinders on and that's all you know.
Sure.
You are as broad-based as I think they come.
Well, I am a appreciator of the fine arts, and I've been honored recently, within the last literally month, to be invited to the Cultural Ambassadorship Board for Ballet BC.
Isn't that incredible?
It is.
Yeah.
I love ballet. I love the fine arts. I love opera. I love symphony. You know, I was good friends, rest in peace, to Bramwell.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fine arts, and Vancouver, I think, does just what an amazing job we do for the fine arts here, right? It's It's a very multicultural city. It's very mixed. It's very blended. And we dig it. I think we do a pretty good job, right?
Yeah, so sometimes I think us at the Penthouse, we have our own sort of fine arts, but it's
a
little different, though, right?
It's a different kind of fine
art. The stage moves are a little different.
But you do hear what I'm saying, right?
It's all fruit from the same tree.
There's some moves like Jagger going on downstairs.
I'm going to applaud that. I'm going to applaud that, right? Because there's something that I think goes into a stage show.
Absolutely.
No matter what context it's in. Yeah. Yeah. There's something that goes into a stage show.
Yeah.
You put on a character, you get something in your mind, you put your wardrobe together, you get in your mindset.
And you're proud of it, too.
And you're proud of it. Yeah. And you own it. And rock and roll with that, man.
Love it.
I totally herald that.
That's it. I love it.
What was Young Prevail like? What were you digging when you were growing up musically? When you were a kid?
Ooh, no, I grew up in country and like Motown. My mom was a big country and Motown fan.
Yeah.
I grew up in a single household, like a single parent household. So I listened to whatever my mom wanted to listen to. And when I finally found hip hop, and I can actually go back to the days when my cousin moved over here from the East Coast, he was like, "Hey, man, I don't know why you're just listening to rock music and like." I was AC/DC, Metallica, Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Langford. And he's like, "You should be listening to rap music." And I don't know what that is. Well, hip hop culture. What are you talking about? This is this four elements. Off you go. Okay, I listened to one tape. Steezo, who was a backup dancer actually in the day for EPMD, but he was a dope rapper, really dope rapper. His album was called Crazy Noise. So I got into it, and I was like, hold on, man. I grew up in the theater, so I was like, I can put my love of poetry, which I wrote a lot, and my love of theater all together, and I can just make that one thing. Doesn't have to be diversified. I can do one thing. Yeah, man, that's what rapping is. I was gone, bro. I was gone.
That's it.
Love it.
That was going into grade 7, into grade 8 that summer. And I just digested everything. Much Music was obviously flowing at that time, and I just digested everything I could get my hands and my ears on. Loved it.
What tweaks your interest musically today?
Oh, I'm fully opera.
Really?
Pretty much opera. Yeah. Yeah.
You also told me something about ballet, because my impression of ballet is not what it necessarily exists. There's like rock and roll ballet stuff now, right?
Okay,
can I
say this?
You know what? He gave me a when we talked about this at the Regal Beagle
I did,
not long
because
ago.
Because I think maybe people are maybe stuck in that Swan Lake Nutcracker Sweet Baryshnikov, and no, nothing against that. That is tremendous artistry. But Ballet BC, come on, man! What these people are doing. Not only athletically, music-wise, come on, man. It's next level. It is literally next level. You can't... If what you think ballet is in your mind, take that and put it in a cupboard, shut that cupboard, and go to Ballet BC, and then open a new drawer.
Wow.
It is absolutely insane what these people are doing. They are so skilled. And the music, I think everyone thinks it's this, traditional...
Russian composer.
Tchaikovsky or whatever. Yeah. Sure. Classical music, which I love classical, but it is not that. It is so progressive. It is so modern. And the people that are around it that are coordinating not just the choreography and the movement, but the conductors and the people that are actually pushing that message... Man, they're so tremendously progressive. It will blow your mind. It will literally blow your mind.
I'm sold. Let's go.
Let's do it. And it's a Queen Elizabeth Theater.
Absolutely.
So, come on.
What a great venue.
Amazing.
Has hip-hop or the rap culture been brought into ballet to any degree?
Yes. Look, it's... I can name any 10 dance styles. Breakdancing, tango. Like, get into it. Yeah. It's all there. And in little subsects, right? Boom, boom, boom. You get 30 seconds of each thing. And it's this style. But the totality of it, oh man, it's so beautiful to watch. It's really amazing.
I think we're going to see some OGs heading to the Queen Elizabeth Theater, right? Lining up to see some of the next shows coming up on the basis of your description.
If they try to outdress me again, I'm going to be... Because well, one thing, I will say that. I got to respect that theater.
Yeah.
When I step in that building...
Sure.
You gotta look good, baby.
Yeah.
You gotta wear the goods.
Suited and booted.
You gotta be suited and booted, baby.
I'll tell you something I learned about Prevail in all the years we've known each other is that you're much more than just a member of Swollen Members. You're much more cultured than people perhaps give the genre credit for, and your watch program is always on point. We were having a little watch battle for a while there.
Yeah, no, you're capped out.
I tapped out at 14 watches. How many do you have?
I stole four of yours while you just showed up today, so I'm back up to 16.
That's great.
So realistically, what do you see in the end between now and the end of 2024 or 2025 with getting the band back together and stuff like that? Does that excite you?
Yeah, you know what, man? I think I'm at that point in my life where I want one more kick at the can. Honestly, Joe, we've talked about this. I want to win one more Juno. I think that would just be such a spectacular thing this far down the road. I'd love it to be with XO. If it happens with Swollen, great. Tap it at five and go, man. That's just what a great thing. Ultimately, though, man, I just want to travel, bro. You can't get me off stage. I'm one of those old school vaudevillian. You got to get the big stick to drag with the hook on it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to drag me off stage.
That's great.
I love that. I don't think there's no feeling like it for me personally. Right. There's no feeling like performing live in front of people. I love that energy. Dave, wherever he is, he knows this, right? There's nothing like being live on stage, man.
Yeah.
And doing your craft and sharing with the people. Yeah, so for me, that's it, man.
Being the orator that you are, though, before you get good with words, do you suck when you start off? Like, is it an acquired something you get better as the more you go on? Like, speaking of Dave Harris, we've talked before about stand-up comedy, and
he's a genius.
He is. But was the first night genius, or was he bad, and then he eventually learned from his mistakes to get good? Like, before you when you're rapping. What's the first rap like compared to what you could do right now today?
Ooh, well, let's see. Suited for the 90s, my name is Black Knight. I rescue damsels in distress with the music in my mic. That was my first.
Okay.
That was the first line that I ever wrote.
Right.
Wow, it's good you remember.
And when you name yourself the Black Knight.
You can only go
Thank
up
God I got it. Thank you, Mocha, only for giving me the upgrade for my old rap name. Prevails has a nicer ring to it, I think.
I had to go buy White Chocolate. That was my.
That was yours.
Yeah,
that was yours.
Sure.
That was
yeah.
That was your.
Sorry. Did you graduate from Belmont?
No.
White Chocolate.
Yeah.
Aaron Chapman, White Chocolate.
Straight out of Carisdale, man. Yeah. You got.
So, Aaron, you've authored, how many books have you authored that involve the city of Vancouver to some
degree? Five now, yeah, wow. Including a book about the history of the Commodore, yeah.
Okay. And, you know, when the definitive chapter on contributions to music from British Columbia, where do you rank the hip-hop community that we have here in this province?
Well, like I say, you know, there's such a rich history of hip-hop here that not everybody knows about or should be wider known, right. Not only here in Vancouver, but kind of across the nation, because sometimes the spotlight often turns to Toronto and bigger population center. I get it, bigger media center as well. But with some of the early stuff that came out of here, up until one of the biggest acts in the country, being the Swollen Members, that put Vancouver on the map in a way that it hadn't been before, at least in my mind.
I'm going to give that to the Rascals.
The Rascals, for sure.
I am proud of what we did, but I'm going to give that to the Rascals.
Not forgetting them at all, and including you guys in the same stratosphere to my ears and to my impression of how things went. You know, it's a fascinating thing. We don't really give it sometimes the attention that it deserves.
I'm going to tell you this. I've told you this before, Prev, but there's two occasions in my mind that I've heard a song driving in my car, and this is pre-digital radio days, where I literally had to call the radio station to go, what was that you just played? One was In the Meantime by Space Hog. Do you remember that?
I remember that Space Hog song. Yeah.
And the other was Lady Venom by Swollen Members. It was just that there was just something about it. It was so fresh, and I've told you that before, but I can't think. And I'm a radio DJ by trade, so I've heard a gazillion tunes a gazillion times, but it's rare that something strikes me as like, what is that right now I need to know?
Well, that story is interesting. I think this is maybe circulating back to the question that you asked me about 20 minutes ago, which I totally blanked on.
Beat shopping.
The beat shopping.
So Matt and I had, formed Swollen, and we were just eager to start making a record. We drove down to San Francisco, where he had some roots. I had, before that, lived in San Diego, so we had some South Cali connects. So we drove down to San Francisco, and we go to this guy, Paul Nice's house, who owned Bomb Records and Magazine at the time. And he was a producer. Dave Paul. We went to Paul Nice's house, who was a producer, was buddies with Dave Paul. And God, dude, we had driven, the drive from Vancouver to San Francisco was 17 hours nonstop. And that's you trading off and stopping and eating lunch and yada, yada, yada. Call it 20 hours. We get down to San Francisco. We go to the homie's house and we listen to about 15 beats. Yeah, that's cool. Dope beat, man. How long to get back to Vancouver? I got one more. And he brings up the beat for Lady Venom.
Wow.
And we go, man, why didn't you play this? You should have played this first. I could have been at In-N-Out already. What are you doing? You're killing me. And that became our, our signature, sort of out of the gate, first song that really got some attention.
And when that broke, there was, to my ears, there wasn't really anything like that year. It really held its place
really
in a big way.
Different.
Yeah, it was really different. Lyrically, sonically, in so many different ways.
Yeah. So when we went to do the video at Sonar.
I didn't know that was filmed at Sonar.
Yeah, the late Sonar nightclub.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Before we filmed that, I threw up. I was so nervous.
Really?
It was our first time. We got 10 grand or something like that budget from Creative BC or Music BC or Star Maker, whatever it was, to film the video. And I was so nervous. I went across the street and I threw up. I probably actually owe those guys a plant. I think I threw up in their planter. But, just nerves. You're a young dude, and it's just like, okay, you're doing your first big thing. It was our first foray, opening salvo, if you will, into the world of music. And but then I thought the video came out really awesome. Also, one of those early days of visual effects and prosthetic makeup and all that stuff. And the team that we worked with, the crew, was so awesome. I look back at that video and I think that was a really fun one.
There'll be a Heritage Vancouver plaque across the street. This is where Prevail threw up.
That's right. Will the penthouse kick in $50 for that? I'll kick in the other 50.
Consider it done.
And they might even put it on the sign. How about that?
Yeah, I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Prevail from Swollen Members back at the top of the charts on iTunes. Congratulations and thank you for joining us in the chat room. Cheers.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Those dreams you've been chasing across the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance to Paris, Frankfurt, and London car shows. They've come home to West Coast Dream Machines in West Van. Come see a carefully curated collection of luxury, muscle, classic, rare and exotic dream machines. Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati, from late model to 60s. In-house leasing and financing to make your dreams come true faster. The chase is over. West Coast Dream Machines. WCDreamMachines.com. 778-606-FAST.
Our cars are faster.
He
You're listening to The Chat Room at Tyrant Studios downtown, and this is Sportsnet 650 AM, 96.9 FM HD3. The Chat Room is presented by West Coast Dream Machines on Clyde Avenue in West Vancouver. West Coast Dream Machines is Vancouver's supercar dealership, offering pre-owned luxury muscle, classic, and rare and exotic vehicles with in-house leasing available. It's a carefully curated collection of premium rides, exotic cars, luxury vehicles, resto mods, and modified muscle cars, all shipped worldwide. They carry the finest lines like Ferrari, Maserati, Lamborghini, and McLaren. Check out their extensive collection at WCDreamMachines.com. Now, back to the chat room. And again, your hosts, Joe Leary, Danny Filipponi, and Aaron Chapman.
We are back in the chat room.
Excuse me. Hi, atop the Penthouse Nightclub in downtown Vancouver.
A little slow on the draw there.
Sorry about that.
Chocolate,
yeah.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
It's Joe Leary, along with Danny Filipponi, the operator of the Penthouse Nightclub, and noted historian Aaron White Chocolate Chapman.
That's
we learned a little something new about him today.
Old hip-hop MC name. That was
absolutely.
It.
I like it. Yeah, I like it.
I got to say, Joe, we're recording this show, and the vibe up here in Tyrant Studios is incredible.
It is. Yeah.
The room is packed. Yeah.
And, spoiler alert, it's not even a nighttime. We're in the daytime here.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This is a killer vibe. And thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to our major title sponsor,
yeah.
West Coast Dream Machines, WCDreamMachines.ca. And, man, this is a car fanatics playground. If you go to the website.
And I might add a brand new website. Just launched two days ago. Check it out. Brand new website. Very proud of that.
I was just looking
very
at
different.
Last night.
Looks great.
Wow.
Rob Frost is the general manager of West Coast Dream Machines.
I am.
And there is a rumor. I think it's. I've got a pretty good authority that we might be doing a little something from West Coast Dream Machines that incorporates a little bit of barbecue element come summertime. So
I like that.
Looking forward to that.
I like that.
Rob, for the beginner, give us West Coast Dream Machines 101. I'm a person that wants to find myself a hot car, pre-owned hot car. I've got some crazy fantasy in mind.
Not stolen, but...
Not stolen, not hot yeah, in that
not
respect.
Not hot in that sense.
H-A-W-T car.
Yeah.
But I got something in mind. I go to you. What happens?
Well, you come to our showroom in West Vancouver, and we will satisfy. Believe me, we have a showroom in there full of everything you can imagine, all of the cars you had as Hot Wheels or posters on your wall, yeah. All the cars you dreamt about, they're there. As I said before, we carry about 40 cars in our showroom, and there's another 80, 90 cars off-site to choose from. Everything runs on video loops, shows you all our inventory. We have photo albums, everything. We have what you're looking for.
And I will say, Joe, I've been there a few times. I went to the grand opening, the launch, which was absolutely incredible. That was like a nightclub, which he had going on there. But walking into his showroom it's hard to explain. It's not like walking into a typical car shop.
No, it's
great. Like walking into like a candy store, and all these cars are on different levels, and he's got this area where you can get merchandise and I'm sure a cocktail somewhere hidden in the back.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just for me.
Okay, maybe.
But it is an incredible experience, and it's a must, especially if you want to go check out some dream cars.
There's nothing like it.
No, nothing.
Locally, and not too many across Canada like it. It's sort of mirrored as a sort of a Florida Sunshine LA kind of, you know, boutique, super cool garden.
So are you sourcing out cars based on what you would like to have in your repertoire, or people coming to you saying, can you source me out a 67 Mustang GT or whatever?
Most of our inventory is what we like, which cars that meant something to us and we've wanted and found them and sourced them. And, of course, that's another part of our business, too. We have access through all our contracts and networks and things to find specific cars as well. So we can do that. But what you see primarily in the showroom is stuff that, hey, that's cool. We want that. And we end up putting that up for sale.
We've always said that because this show is recorded and there might be some lag time between recording date and air date, it's not appropriate to say, here's what's on the lot today, because that might be gone tomorrow well before.
But I could find another one.
You could find another one. But can you?
We're that good.
What's happened is since the last time we chatted? A couple of cool hot cars that have gone through the door?
Yeah, we've had a few leave. We just said goodbye to our beautiful 91 Lamborghini Diablo. That car ended up going to Scottsdale. That was one of my favorite cars. That's incredible. We all know that car. That was up on the posters, right? The Diablo 6-speed, 12-cylinder rear-wheel drive, 2001 beast of a car. Or, wow. 1991 beast of a car. Incredible car. That one's gone. New Porsche has just come in. Another Ferrari 550 Maranello. The market's really picking up on some of the Ferrari models. That car is going to LA. That's, so it's a lot of American buyers reaching out to us through some of our auctions or our website or some of the advertising we do at, you know, DuPont or Hemmings throughout the U.S.
And,
so
and of course, driving down here, it was very hard not to notice how many convertibles I noticed.
You know, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
Sun's out, guns out, right? Like everybody comes. Yeah. We've
so
had
you
lot
must
of,
have a lot of.
Yeah. Yeah. We open up one of the garage doors when it's nice out and we just so much more traffic. But that whole area, right? Ambleside, everywhere.
In my life of cars, I had one convertible and I always had this hard and fast rule. It was called a 15 degree rule. It's got to be at least 15 degrees before you pop the top because I don't get this. Cold January day, you got a scarf, you got the heaters blowing, and you pop the lid. I don't get that.
But you know, with cars designed today too, with your windows up and the where the air flows over it, it stays out of the passenger compartment, so it's very comfortable with your.
Now, Rob, when we spoke last time, we were talking about sort of our favorite era cars, and I probably what I named was sort of from a certain time because I'm a historian. I look back at certain periods with favorite. When I was looking at your website, actually just last night. And when I first looked at things, I maybe just had two cursory look. Lots of great cars from the last 20 years or so. But I did not realize the 1930s era hot rods that you had that just, oh, my God.
How cool is that?
Oh, my God.
With the rumble seat?
Yeah. Holy cow.
I know.
Could you tell me about that Ford?
Well, you know, it has the look. So, yeah, it's an early 30s Ford. But everything's modern on it. It's got a GM Crete engine, a new rear end, new transmission, new wiring, Wilwood brakes. So it drives like a normal car. I've spent time. That's one of my favorite cars there. Incredible car to drive. It literally would be like driving a 2022 Ford Mustang.
Wow.
So it's that easy and that nice to drive. Yet you have that look of the early.
It's amazing. It's some of the vintage stuff you have and other areas that appeals deeply to the Steve McQueen that lurks deep in my heart somewhere. But do you have with some of the people that come in? I know Danny. When you talk about when you have celebrities come in, you're a little bit more discreet about who shows up and you don't announce it. Do you have local celebrities, athletes, or
do you come by
to check out stuff?
We do, and it's just, you know, every person gets treated the same, and we're discreet. I mean, you know, we don't talk about, you know, what we do. We sell a car. We don't post who bought it. We don't take pictures of them. That's their own business, right? So we appreciate the, you know, discretion, certainly for people that buy.
Is there anything on your gotta have list? Like, is there anything you're kind of searching around for to see if you can't get it in West Coast Dream Machines?
Do you know what? Not really. Okay. We have such a wild, like it's beyond my dreams what we have. Actually, I mean, we have, and people come in and they're, oh my God, I've always this and that, and I'm like. To me, after a while, I'm with them every day. I'm just kind of like, yeah. And then you realize, just actually sit down for a moment, look around, and look what's going on here.
You had said previously that you might be able to find any car somebody wants, but maybe not in the color. So they could always get it wrapped or something like that.
Well, we did talk about that. And that's become so popular. And they do such quality work in wrapping a car now. I challenge you to find the difference between a painted car and a wrap car. It's amazing. And like a full wrap job, $6,000-$7,000, and it's incredible. So that's really, really a good option. And interesting, a few weeks ago, I was talking to my guy that does wrap, and I said, why is there so many Teslas here? And he said, because
they're all white.
And their paint quality is not that good.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of gaps where things aren't painted. Wrapping, and you're right, there's not a wide
palette of colors. I wonder why. It's not like the owner
of
Tesla would cheap out on anything.
Yeah, I don't know. What's that guy's name?
We have plans to do a summertime event live on location.
That'll be great.
At West Coast Dream Machines.
I heard Swollen Members was going to go up on the roof.
Let's do it.
Did we hear that?
At the very least, we'll have white chocolate for you.
There's the headliner. I'm not sure how we'll advertise that. On location with white chocolate.
Get Prevail another tequila. We're talking
yeah,
about
I think going to West Coast Dream Machines, the chat room will go there. We'll have a barbecue.
Absolutely.
Rob will show us firsthand all these cars.
Yeah,
and it will be a great 100%. Experience for our listener to come down and check out the showroom itself.
That'll be fun. Open up the garage doors.
And, yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the sun shining, very close to Ambleside Beach.
And in the meantime, live your fantasies, folks. Go to wcdreammachines.com. You will not be disappointed. Rob Frost, General Manager of West Coast Dream Machines and proud sponsor of the chat room at Tyrant Studios.
Hi, above the Penthouse Nightclub in downtown Vancouver.
Thank you, Rob Frost.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Good to see you.
Put this in your map app. 1519 Clyde Avenue. Got it? Now, prepare to be amazed. West Coast Dream Machine Showroom. Specializing in exotic, classic muscle cars and supercars. Feel yourself in the driver's seat of your dream machine. Maybe a late model or vintage classic Ferrari, Lamborghini, or Maserati. Lease and financing options can make it happen. Start dreaming at wcdreammachines.com. And remember, that red pin of luxury lands at 1519 Clyde Avenue, West Van. 778-606. Fast.
Our cars are faster.
You're listening to the chat room at Tyrant Studios downtown, and this is Sportsnet 650 AM 96.9 FM HD3. The chat room is presented by West Coast Dream Machines on Clyde Avenue in West Vancouver. West Coast Dream Machines is Vancouver's supercar dealership, offering pre-owned luxury muscle, classic, and rare and exotic vehicles with in-house leasing available. It's a carefully curated collection of premium rides, exotic cars, luxury vehicles, resto mods, and modified muscle cars, all shipped worldwide. They carry the finest lines like Ferrari, Maserati, Lamborghini, and McLaren. Check out their extensive collection at wcdreammachines.com. Now, back to the chat room. And again, your hosts, Joe Leary, Danny Filipponi, and Aaron Chapman.
Welcome back to the chat room at Tyrant Studios.
Hi, above the Penthouse Nightclub in downtown Vancouver.
Well done.
That was better this time. Yeah.
Danny Filipponi, the operator of the Penthouse, Aaron Chapman, White Chocolate. I'm Joe Leary. You have got us on, sponsored by, of course, West Coast Dream Machines. Our cars go faster. Check them out, wcdreammachines.com. Our thanks to all of our sponsors, North Point Brewing in North Vancouver, home of the Penthouse beer.
Yes.
Available at Kitsilano Liquor Store on West Broadway at Arbutus, exclusively right now.
Yes.
And coming more probably to stores near you. Also, our thanks to Terramana Tequila, which we are enjoying right now.
Rapidly.
Have one right now.
And also, thank you to Mitzi at Neighbors Restaurant and Pizza House on 35th and Victoria Drive in South Vancouver, a proud Vancouver tradition. And thank you so much. She just took such good care of us, our new food sponsor. We would be remiss to not talk about something that gets talked about so much when you hear the name The Penthouse, and that is the legendary marquee that greets you upon entranceway. And you told me that it was around, I guess, the time of COVID that you decided to have some fun with it. Benjamin Jackson is the Penthouse marquee guy. Ben Jackson, hey, well done, sir.
Legend.
Well done.
The man.
And
thank
just
you.
Got a nice write-up in Georgia Strait, by the way.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what point did you decide, hey, let's screw around and have some fun?
The first marquee would have been probably about eight years ago now, 2016, 2015.
Yeah.
It was, I remember it vividly, it was right before the Pokemon Go app was released in Canada, but it was released in the States a week prior, so the buzz was getting so big, we knew it was coming to us with, like, we had the actual date and everything. And at the time, the sign said something along the lines of book your stag now or something. And I'd said to our GM at the time, you should let us have some fun. Like, there's this Pokemon thing coming, you know? And I still remember him being a little bit hesitant to put it up. And we ended up putting it up. Luckily, the first one went viral, realistically. And ever since then, Danny has just, you know, kind of given us the reins to do whatever
well,
we want.
Well, let's go back here a bit, Ben. Ben's worked at the Penthouse for quite some time now. But prior to Ben coming on board, the marquee at the Penthouse, Aaron.
Marquee goes back to the 1950s.
It does. That marquee has sat outside. I've seen it in photos with my dad back in 1939. There's photos in the club of my dad under the marquee.
Yeah.
And having the marquee has been a great tool for the Penthouse, but we didn't use it properly for many years. It was just used, like Ben explained, it was, you know, a book your stag now or a score of a prediction of a Canucks game. But it wasn't up until when Ben really came on board. We had sort of done some failed attempts of some humor. But when Ben came on board and started getting creative, never mind the Pokemon, he really got into some good ones. You know, we take off more than WestJet.
Yeah.
There was
that one ended up being the first actual hiccup we had. WestJet sent us a cease and desist
letter. They certainly did.
You could not ask for better publicity.
100%. Yeah. So we got a message from it, and I thought it was somebody messing with us, just saying, and then we got a strongly worded text message from our GM with a screenshot of the email, and we're like, oh my God, that's real. Yeah. And he's like, why aren't you here changing it already? And we're like, okay. And we actually had to change it and send a photo back with the email, like just showing us actually changing the sign. It not, and then we were going to poke fun at it being off, and then we just kind of walked away from that.
You would think WestJet would have a sense of humor.
You would think.
It was very quick. It was within a day. They had shut it down. Yeah, wow. It was quick.
So you've been cheeky, purposely cheeky. Have you been tempted to cross a line, or is there a line that you will? I mean, obviously, we all know the line that you absolutely can't cross.
Right.
But, I mean, have you pushed the envelope to the point where somebody has gone, whoa, Ben, I don't think we want
to
go there?
Well, two different things. Well, we tried to push the line one time. I wanted to say the word tits on it. And we were kind of like, oh, you know, we were kind of hesitant. We know it's not, you know, obviously a curse word necessarily, but it ended up turning into a marquee that said, is it cool if we say tits on this thing? And we kept it up for about a month and nobody said anything.
So I guess it's cool.
So kind of like we took the temperature of the city, I guess, with that marquee. And then after that, Dano and I can't remember what the party was, but Dano was in the penthouse, and it was right when Horvat had said that line or whatever. Can't remember exactly what it was, but he took a shot at Vancouver, and Danny and I were at the penthouse, and we were kind of like...
We were mad,
but we was like, we should say something, and I said, like, without bleeping it out, I was like, oh, we should just say F you Horvat, and we kind of laughed at about it. We're like, well, who's really going to... Like, who's the person that stops us? You know what I mean? Like
the ladder came out.
But then Jackie was there, and she was like, hey, I'm not letting you guys swear on this marquee. So I said, hey, we have the actual the letters and the characters to make it where we can kind of blank it out. And within minutes, Danny was like, we're insane not to do this.
But Ben, when you're changing the sign, literally, whether it's at 5 p.m. or when the club's in operation, I notice you outside sometimes. So tell the folks, when you're changing the sign, some of the things that you've seen and happen when you're actually up on the ladder.
Oh, yeah. Almost, at this point, almost very minimum is somebody stopping, honking, yelling out their window, things like that. I've had cool stories of – I've had people ask me to come off the ladder and take photos with me just, like, to send to people. They're like, even stories that reach all over the place. Like, I have friends in the UK that we send this to and – or people that had lived across the street. Yeah. It's like I said, it's at very minimum someone at least hollers out the window or something, but people stop their car sometimes or they just want to say, like, oh my God, I've actually seen it being changed, or they want to know what it is. Or
being a one-way street, if I'm driving by CMI, I only see one side of the sign.
Right.
Are both sides the same always?
No. So we came to an agreement, I guess, a long time ago that obviously the drive side gets more traffic.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, I was trying to do two at the same time, and I kind of thought, if you're going to get the majority of them seen on the drive side, which we call it, you may as well put, like, just go for gold on that side. And the other side, we can truly advertise our hours, the days we're open, our Instagrams on there now. So,
But there was a time when you asked cars for their opinion. You said, if you don't like strip bars, make your first left. And unfortunately, that's on a one-way street.
Yeah. No, I said, hate strip clubs, take left on Nelson.
Yeah, boy, that caused some concern.
Those ones are fun. Like, just for, obviously, local people will get it, you know? Yeah. And those ones are just as funny to me as the ones that go viral, if the people from Vancouver can get a kick out of it.
So you've received a lot of acclaim. The Instagram for this sign is incredible. Are you basking in the glow? Are you digging it? Are you thinking, Ben, wow, I've really raised the bar. I got to keep the bar raising higher and higher.
And you've been discovered now. It used to be a sort of a secret that you, like the C-Bus Mems guy, you know.
Yeah, the sign guy.
No one knew who I was. Yeah, now people,
people come in to see Ben.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They come in and they'll say, who's the sign guy?
Yeah,
well, he's the guy making the martini over there, right?
Yeah.
And sure enough, there he is.
Are people giving you suggestions?
Yes. I've had, a lot of times I get people, friends, send me stuff where, and honestly, 9 times out of 10, I can send them a photo back of, like, we've already done it. Like, people don't realize how long we've been doing it. Or there's been, you've had people leave signs in the door, just in the crash door, pieces of paper.
Really?
Yeah, you should do this, or emails. But a lot of people don't realize that it's only, what is it, 40 characters with spaces.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff, it's like, you should write this. And it's like this and paragraph. You're like,
How often does it change?
Usually about once a month. Yeah, once a month. We have our amateur night the last Thursday of every month.
Right.
So we'd like to get that up. And I use that as kind of like a timeline too. Unless something goes viral or it's, you know what I mean, that big, then we'll put the amateur night on the other side.
We're all hopeful that the Canucks have a nice ending to this season.
Oh,
we all know where we think we want them to go.
Yeah.
But win or lose, and again, remember you're in the chat room broadcasting on the home of the Vancouver Canucks.
That's true.
Win or lose.
Be careful here, Ben.
Do you have some plans for what the sign could say?
Yeah, Dandy and I were kind of joking about it the other day about it's obvious that we've had some fun poking fun at the Canucks over the years. Like I said, I'm more than willing to have something along the lines of taking back any jokes that I've made in the past about the Canucks.
We are fans.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
And I think everybody knows it's all in good fun. You know, like, we love Vancouver and the city and the Canucks more than anybody. And then we were saying, once we get to know who they're playing in the first round, things like that, and then we can kind of come up with ideas about, you know,
storyline.
Exactly.
There is one last thing. Ben, I will give you credit for this. During COVID, and it was a very dark time, crazy time for everyone, I have received more emails, and I share them with you, more emails and more phone calls from people, and I'm talking, you know, ladies in their 80s and just regular folks who have commented on how much they enjoyed driving down Seymour Street during COVID just to see the signs and get a giggle.
Well,
I credit you for that.
Hearing that from the operator, I hope that's reflected in your paycheck.
Oh, it's the only one I care about his opinion, to be completely honest. If Dana likes it, then everything.
He is the sign guy, the legendary sign guy of the Penthouse, Benjamin Jackson.
Benjamin.
Yeah. Yes. Keep up the good work. The bar has been raised.
Thank you for having me.
A wrap for the chat room at Tyrant Studios.
High above the Penthouse nightclub in downtown Vancouver.
Our thanks to all of our sponsors, West Coast Dream Machines, Terramana Tequila, Mitzi from Neighbors Restaurant and Pasta House and Pizza House on 35th and Victoria Drive, as well as North Point Brewing, now the new home of the official brew of the chat room. Thank you to Liam and Sean from North Point Brewing. And again, don't forget, you can buy Penthouse beer at our Kitsilano Liquor Store on Arbutus. Thanks also to producer Eddie Gregory.
That's
a wrap. We'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming.
You've been listening to The Chat Room at Tyrant Studios in downtown Vancouver on Sportsnet 650 AM 96.9 FM HD3. The Chat Room is presented by West Coast Dream Machines on Clyde Avenue in West Vancouver. It's Vancouver's supercar dealership, offering pre-owned luxury muscle, classic, and rare and exotic vehicles with in-house leasing available. West Coast Dream Machines ship worldwide and only the finest lines of automobiles like Ferrari, Maserati, Lamborghini, and McLaren. Check out their extensive collection at wcdreammachines.com. Follow The Chat Room on Instagram, The Chat Room Tyrant Studios. The Chat Room is produced by Eddie Gregory.